It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It's a beautiful day today. The sun is shining. It's just gorgeous. But, you know, it's beautiful any time of the year when you have Jesus Christ in your heart. That's our belief here at Bible Home Church. We'd love for you to be a part of our world congregation. Yes, we have a world congregation. And we would love for you to join us. You may do so and listen in each week as we present another message from the Holy Scriptures and ask the question, what does God say about things that are going on in the world and will happen in the future, as revealed in Bible prophecy. If you would like to become a member of our congregation, well, there is one stiff requirement, and yet it is a glorious requirement, and that is that you believe and trust and give your life over to Jesus Christ and let Him live through you. That's not hard to do, is it? You don't have to do a thing but ask Jesus to come in and guide your life and walk with Him, or I should say, allow Him to walk in you. So just follow the steps of Jesus and He'll draw out the template or the pattern for your life. That's a big statement that I've just made, but I believe that you understand what I'm talking about. You know, all you have to do is write us a little note. Just write to Pastor Tex Mars at Bible Home Church and say, Brother Tex, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I know that I'm born again. I'm saved through His blood. That's it. But you can write that in your own words. Doesn't have to be exactly those words. But let us know that you trust and believe in Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. And then we'll be glad to, you might say, sign you up. Although there's no real sign up. There's no requirement. We don't keep track of you. And as far as tithing goes, that's up to you and God. We don't bill you at any time. Don't ask for a copy of your tax return to see how much money you make, to see if you're going to tithe to us. We don't do any of that. But we accept love gifts and offerings as the opportunity comes in, because it is an opportunity for people to serve the Lord. And, you know, we're reaching so many people around the globe. It's sometimes astonishes me how many people we reach. People in Australia, New Zealand, Romania, a lot of them in Africa listen to us. You know, some people get up in the middle of the night, wake up just to listen to this program, and they don't have Christian church where they're at. They might be in the Philippines or way over in the Middle East, and it's illegal to have a church in some countries, but they'll tune us in Saudi Arabia or in Israel, where a lot of pressure is put on Christians, and because they just don't want Christians there in places like Saudi Arabia and Israel. Saudi Arabia, of course, is worse. They behead Christians who worship openly and use their Bibles in Saudi Arabia. In Israel, they just put pressure on you and try to get you to leave the country. They love for you to come in as a tourist, but they don't want you to stay as a Christian. In Israel, but at least then they're not beheading people for loving Christ, at least for now. They may sometime in the future during the Great Tribulation, but that's ahead. Well, in any case, wherever people are who love the Lord, they can be members of this body, because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. Isn't that a fantastic promise? You know, we highly recommend home churches. Home churches. And if two or three of you are gathered in your home, or in another person's home, or on the sidewalk, or out in the woods, or in your back porch, or in your garage, or on your front yard, and you're truly, sincerely worshiping Jesus Christ, the Bible says He will be there with you. You know? You want a holy visit from God? Then just get two or three people together and worship Him. And He will be with you. That's a promise from God. He says, you know, that He's knocking at the door. Whosoever will open up, He will come in and dine with you. You want a guest that's the greatest who's ever lived? Well, or could ever live. It's God. He would like to be a guest in your home. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, there's the Hollywood set and the celebrities, and they all think they're better than a lot of us. There's the politicians and the congressmen. They think they're little gods, evidently, the way they act, don't they? But they wouldn't want to come to your home. Why, you're too little. You're a big nothing to them. But Jesus would. And it's so fascinating to me that He never really wanted to go and visit all the rich people. They came to Him. Some of them did. The young rich ruler, the Roman centurion, Nicodemus, the learned rabbi. They all had no doubt a lot of money, and they came to Jesus for spiritual counsel and advice. But He went out and met the prostitutes and the blind people and the poor people and the fishermen and the common person, they would be called in America today. But evidently they weren't so common, because Jesus chose them over the rich. He even said it would be difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. His disciples were shocked. Why, if the rich cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, what chance do we have, they said to Him. Who can enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, well, with God, all things are possible. Isn't that great? What a great saying. With God, all things are possible. You know, if you're just need some prayer, we'd like to hear from you here at Bible Home Church. You know, I love the verse in the Bible that says that if we humble ourselves before God, He will exalt us in due time. A lot of people may be feeling down today. You're feeling depressed. Things aren't going right. You have marital relations trouble. You have sickness and health problems. You have loved ones that are getting into problems with the police or some other thing, or they're failing school. You got financial problems. You say things are really, really bad. You know, that's the time. A lot of people say, oh, think positive. Go out and buy yourself something nice. Treat yourself. Think positive thoughts. Make positive confessions. But you know what it says in the Bible? Humble yourself before God, and He will exalt you in due time. Now, that's contrary to what the world teaches. The world teaches you need an ego lift. You need some bucking up. You need some positive reinforcement. You need some warm fuzzies. You need some hugs. But God said, humble yourself. Maybe that's the time. I'm not talking about blaming yourself. I'm not talking about saying, oh, I'm guilty of everything and the whole world is on my shoulders. Woe is me. I feel like killing myself. Forget that nonsense. I'm thinking that you should just go to God. And what I think is correct, because it's biblical. And, you know, get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm having some problems here. And I know that I cannot handle them. I am too weak. I'm discouraged, Lord. I don't have the boldness I need. I don't have the courage. I don't have the strength. I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. I don't have... Just tell God what you don't have. Admit in your humility, you're nothing. You're nothing. And suddenly... Although, remember now, you've got to have patience, because He will exalt you in due time. Suddenly, though, something will happen. And maybe slowly, maybe instantaneously, that's up to God. But I'm telling you, you will be on the road to a great, great recovery. Sicknesses may vanish if that's God's will. He can do that. Your financial situation may improve. Your loved one may accept the Lord. You might start making better grades at school. Of course, you got to apply a little elbow grease too and work at it. You may get promotions at work, and you'll deserve it because you humbled yourself and you're deserving in the workplace because you're showing and demonstrating that you care about your job. In any case, my friends, believe me, I know what I'm talking about. This has happened to me so many times. A lot of people say, just get on your bicycle and pump away. No, 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 no. Step off your bike, get on your knees, and in humility, I mean with humbleness, sincere humbleness, just admit to God, boy, I'm a big zero, Lord. And you know what? He'll lift you up. See, that defies what the world says. Remember the old song by, I think it was, who was that singer? Whitney Houston? Is it her name, Whitney Houston? Yeah, the black singer. Oh, she has a beautiful voice, but she sings ungodly songs. The greatest love of all is to love yourself, she said. Remember that song? The greatest love of all is to love yourself. Baloney. That is the key to misery. And you know what's happened to Whitney Houston in those years since she had that huge mammoth number one best-selling song? She has fallen into the pit of hell. She, no doubt, took her own song seriously. To love yourself is the greatest love of all. She didn't humble herself before God at all. Boy, the devil loves that. He says, come on, come on. Give me an opportunity to enter you and possess you. I think he did possess Whitney Houston. No doubt about it at all. And you take drugs, that's just a pathway to demonic possession, my friends. So, on the other hand, there are many Christians out there. You know, this verse came to my mind recently. There was a University of Texas football quarterback. He had set every record in football at the University of Texas, broken every record as a quarterback. And yet the coach was unfair to him. For one reason or another, no one really knows why, he benched this young man, who was a Christian young man. He benched him, even though he perhaps was the best quarterback in the country. And for 2 years, he sat on the bench. Then finally, the last two games of the season, the quarterback that had been brought in to replace him, who was not as good as Major Applewhite, the quarterback that I'm referring to, performed so poorly that the fans clamored and screamed and hollered, and finally, the head coach of the University of Texas was forced to bring Major Applewhite off the bench, and he performed as if he were the Heisman Trophy winner, which truly he deserved to be. Fantastic performance. In fact, in his final game, he's given credit for the University of Texas winning a major bowl game. You say, what does this have to God's work, Tex Morris? Everybody said, what a man. A classic young man. He didn't complain. He just kept practicing even harder, getting better in practice, sitting on the bench, unfair. No one knows what went through the corrupt coach's mind, and I'm just going to say that about the coach of the University of Texas. But I know this. I know there is no doubt tens of millions of people watch this bowl game on national TV. They interview the young man immediately after the game, Major Applewhite. Remember now, a Christian man, no profanity out of his mouth. They ask him, had it been hard on him? For 2 years he sat on the bench. Now he proved he should have all along been the quarterback. He was better than his replacement. And there he was, the hero of the game, player of the bowl game, given all the recognition by all of the sports announcers of ESPN and CBS and ABC and all the rest of them. And he was asked his feelings about having to sit on the bench for 2 years, being treated unfairly by his coach for whatever reason. He looked into the camera and he simply said, the Bible says, humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you in due time. That's what he said, my friends. And, you know, that had a big impact, I believe, on thousands of young men and women throughout America, many young men who perhaps would like to play football. And you know, sometimes the best things don't always happen to us. Things that are unfair happen to us, even. Life is not fair. But God will fix everything in due time. Well, this is Tex Mars. Now, we've got some music for you today. This is the Rambos, and He Never Once Stopped Believing in Me. Dottie Rambo, beautiful song here. He never once stopped believing in me. And then right afterwards, we'll continue with, I believe it's part two today. We're going to have a number of segments on our series, The Party Is Over. The party is over, but who is able to understand the handwriting on the wall? That's our series, and it's gonna be great, my friends, from the Word of God. But first, here's Dottie Rambo. Well, I said that was Dottie Rambo. Actually, that was Buck Rambo, her husband. And this is from their album, Dottie and Buck Rambo, Reaching Around the World. And now let's dig, my friends, into the glorious and treasureful Word of God.
You see what is happening here? Whoever these two women represent, whatever nations or nation systems they represent, they have established this money system.
And who do they hold it up to? They bring it up to, not to heaven, but they have left the earth, and it is consecrated to the devil and to his dark angels. They control the money systems of the earth, and they use these two women who lift up the ephah with the wickedness therein, and they lift it up into this realm between heaven and earth. Who are the two women? It is not a coincidence, my good friends, that Europe today sees as her symbol a great goddess known as Europa. Oh, I have seen this in European stamps put out by the European Parliament. I've seen this in many other ways, symbols, magazines, and newspapers from Europe. This depiction of this goddess known as Europa. It is she who represents the 12 stars of the European community. It is she that is represented in the euro currency. She has always depicted this goddess Europa as riding a bull with horns. She is the woman astride the beast. Oh my, all we have to do then is turn to Revelation 17, do we not? And we will see a picture of this goddess Europa representing the nations of Europe, formerly Christian, now post-Christian. Formerly civilized, but now gone past civility, past civilization, into an era of pagan heathenism as the party, the great party and celebration continues uninterrupted for now. So we have then the two women. The first is Europa, the great goddess who rides astride the beast. Of course, in Europe, we have the Vatican at Rome. We have perhaps the false prophet with the Pope in his Vatican Curia in that wicked city of Rome wherein so many precious Christians shed their blood in the Roman Empire and later during the great inquisitions and the tortures of the Dark Ages. Europa now rides astride the beast, but who is the beast? Is it not Satan? And she has a cup in her hands. We'll talk more about that, that cup. Now let's get to the second woman. Remember it said that there are two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah. That's the vault of money. That's the banking systems of the world. And they lifted it up to their master and consecrated it to their master, Satan, who resides in that realm somewhere, that hellish dimension between the earth and the heaven, and who is the prince of the power of the air. And now the first woman we have identified as Europa, and the second is America. We know her by many names here. This goddess whom the Americans revere and honor and place their trust in and deposit their money in and see their great power placed in her arms. Who can she be? We call our nation's capital, Washington, but it resides in the district of the goddess Columbia. That's why it's called Washington, D.C. Washington, in the district of the goddess Columbia. Oh, you've seen her probably if you've gone to motion pictures and you see the goddess in her Roman, Greco-Roman toga, and she carries the torch in her hands. The movie company that creates that image is called Columbia Pictures, of course. The nation of Columbia in South America was named after her. Cities throughout the United States, a number of them are named Columbus. You say, but I thought that was Christopher Columbus. And who do you think Christopher Columbus was named after, if it was not the goddess Columbia? You say, Tex Mars, are there any other examples of this great goddess, this woman who helps the woman Europa to bear the ephah, the container of money, the central banks of the world, the system of evil that is called by the angel wickedness. Are there any other examples? Of course there is. There's the Statue of Liberty. Her color is green, the green color of money, is it not? And she stands astride and welcomes the whole world. Come, come. And she carries the flame of Satan, the torch of the solar angel, the angel of light. She says, bring me all your tired poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. I lift my lamp beside the golden door, the land of gold.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on The Party Is Over.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.